You are now experiencing the teaching ministry of Pastor Richard Martin of Life Community Church, located in Arlington, Texas.
Today, it's so funny. It's funny what God is doing with us, the people within this body, and his children just in general. It's something funny happening with us. And it's funny because the enemy wants you to believe that somewhere along the line, God has abandoned you. He wants you to believe that in the season that we're walking in, and the things that you are facing, some real stuff that you are facing, the enemy wants you to believe that somewhere along the line that you have to do this yourself now. Am I talking to anybody? But you have to be careful that, because you are at a pivotal, and Pastor Fred alluded to this, you are at a pivotal place in your life. And as we have been singing, your weapon is your praise. Now, if you get religious about this, then you're going to believe that it's just about how you feel. And I'm going to tell you that some of what you're experiencing, you and I, we're not really feeling all that great. But what's funny is God is declaring to you and I, praise me anyway. I heard someone say that the things that we're doing, and when we execute this, that we're causing confusion in the camp of the enemy. Well, I believe that, but I also believe this, that when we do what God tells us to do, the enemy is rendered powerless. He's not confused. He just can't do nothing about what's going on with you. He has lost the ability to influence you. My God. That when you would transcend, and Pastor Fred alluded to this, when you transcend to a place where your feelings, although they are real, they're not relevant in the atmosphere in which you're operating in. That you begin to, they have to do things that are out of the norm for normal people. As the scripture calls us a peculiar people, that means that there is something in operation that doesn't do what everybody else does when these things happen. So when you lose your job, as some of you in here have experienced, that doesn't feel good. But when you praise him in the midst of the lost job, God fulfills his word of provision, to where many of you have experienced God has found, he's found himself giving you abundance, to where you're having to give away stuff even though you don't have a job. Some of you are experiencing it. Some of you are experiencing these emotional challenges, and we've been talking about what you need to do about that, because Jesus has already taken care of it. But the enemy has turned up the fire, and he has brought it to you, to your doorstep, daring you to believe God. My God. So today, I have a message that I want to deliver to you on this morning. And Sister Cheryl, I don't know how many landings we're going to have today, but I want to encourage your hearts today, because we're coming into the season of Thanksgiving, which bleeds into the season of Christmas, where we celebrate the birth of Christ. And they say statistically, during this time, for people, it's one of the most depressing times for people. But I declare for us today that we're going to go traditional. And we're going to have a good time during this Christmas and Thanksgiving season. Why? Because we're going to do different with our feelings and our emotions. And we're going to do what God's word says in regards to this season of Thanksgiving. We've been talking about it. We've been singing about it. We have been saying what I believe God is wanting us to see on today. And so we're just going to begin. Turn your Bibles to the book of Psalms. Psalm 100. If you're taking notes, you're gonna have to take notes between your shouting. So this is the title of this. I believe this is a series, and it's titled With a Heart of Thanksgiving. With a Heart of Thanksgiving. And today's message title is Objection Overruled. Objection Overruled. Psalm 100, are you there? Okay, that's four of you. There's more than four of us here. Let me know when you're there. Can we get that on screen, ladies? Verse 1. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Why? For the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Freeze. Now, have you heard that before? Have you heard this scripture? If you have heard this scripture before, many times it's presented as an act that we do to substitute our emotional state of depression and just when we're not feeling good. This is a scripture that helps us to get up. Amen. But I want to seed this into you today, because as children of God, this is not something that we do as an alternate for the depression and an alternate. It is in fact a life position. It is an identity thing. It is to say that I know that you are a child of God because you are this. Okay. You're not doing this. You're not making a joyful noise or joyful shout to the Lord only, but you are the noise. You're serving the Lord with gladness, not because it's something that you should do, but that's just who you are. That when I'm serving God, whether it be in the church, when I'm serving with my family, whatever, I'm doing it with gladness because that is my makeup. Why are you happy all the time? I'm happy all the time because I'm happy all the time. Did y'all catch that? That is who I am. So I'm always, even if I'm not saying anything, you're telling me to be quiet. This is an identity issue. And what the enemy is constantly after is that he's after your identity in Christ. And our identity then resonates in our actions. If I am something, then I'm going to do something based upon what I am. My God. See, we've been hustling backwards. We've been trying to shout, not understanding that we are the shout. We're trying to serve with gladness, and but we're coming from the perspective, well, I'm not glad, so there's no reason for me to serve. But if you know that you are the service that causes people to be glad, you can do what you are. Are y'all with me? See, now some of y'all struggling with this right now. I don't care. Why don't I don't care, because where's my musician? Dude, I told you I was going to preach today. Where you at? Unray, where you at? Anyway. I need you to understand, with all that we have just learned about the issues of our emotions, our feelings, and that they had been taken care of 2,000 years ago. So when he tells you to cast your care on him, then there's something that you have to be not, because now you can't be depressed. Now you can't be sad. Now you can't be angry at the world. You can't be that, because that's not who you are. So I began to ask God, well, Lord, you know, with all of this stuff that we have been learning about, you know, dealing with our feelings and our emotions, what are we supposed to do? Then he brought me to the scripture to say, this is who you are. This is the identity that when people are experiencing you, and what makes you so particular is that they're seeing the residue of who you are and who I am everywhere you go. Residue. Why? The scripture said, for the Lord is good. I am who I am because the Lord is good. I have what I have, no matter how much or how little. If I have it, it's because God is good. And his mercy is everlasting. And Lord knows I can be this. Why? Because even when I'm messing up and I'm missing it with God, he's merciful. He's not looking at what I've done. He's saying to me, remember who you are. Oh, you had a slip of the tongue. Remember who you are. Oh, I'm upset with my wife. Wait, remember who you are. And he's merciful. I'm still going to bless you. I'm going to bless you more. You mad at her, and now she's cooking everything for you, everything that you want. You know she's supposed to just shut you down. But she turns around, she starts doing more for you. I'm merciful to you. Get your act together, my God. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. I'm going to give you some more scripture just to get you excited. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, the fifth verse. I want you to grasp a hold of this identity thing, because we're battling trying to act like something that we're not. And what God is saying is, first you have to be, then you can do. You need to identify with who you are so that you can fulfill what it is that I'm calling you to do. And the first thing I'm calling you to do is be thankful. Be thankful. Be thankful. Be thankful. Be thankful. Be thankful. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Be thankful. In your identity, your makeup, your DNA, the way that you operate, any and every little thing that you, be thankful. Pastor Tracy said it earlier. We're considered a small church, and we did a big thing. Be thankful. It don't matter that was a small thing in the eyes of people. That one or two or three or four, five people that got gas that day, woo, that was great for them. But it was awesome for us because we were able to do it. We were able to do it. Be thankful. Be thankful. Be thankful for what you have. You may have a car that may not look like everybody else's car, but it gets you from where you are to where you want to be. But listen, it's not for the thing, but it is because of who you are. I am thankful. And when God can see that you're not concerned with the residue, he'll give you better residue. I'm trying to, but he's not playing, Pastor Fred. We're going to have a good time in the Lord today. Are you all right, Philippians? Verse 5 says this, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation. Now, no, wait a minute. Y'all want to jump right to the prayer, but y'all want to pray about specific things. He said, but in everything. That's what's in the New King James. I was reading out of NIV. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. What is he saying? The action of prayer and the action of supplication comes by way of the identification of who you are. I'm thankful. Why do I not sweat this situation? Why am I not anxious there? In the translation in the Greek means worried. Why am I not worried about this? Because I know who I am, and I know God who is merciful. And I know God whose truth endures to all generations. So I can shout unto God with a voice of triumph in this situation because I'm operating in my thankfulness. Isness. Amen. Thankfulness. It's not an act, it's an identity. It's not just what you're doing, the residue people see, but it is the character that you're carrying, because you know who God is. Now, okay. Sometimes we qualify this. I know who God is because I'm a Christian. I know who God is because I go to church. I know who God is because I have church clothes. Wait, not yet. I know who God is, you know, because I have church friends. No, I know who God is because I've been through some things. And God, watch this. God in his identity has proven to me he is God. And not only has he proved that he is God, but he has proven that what he said about me came to pass. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I was weak, but he declared that I would be strong. So I'm going to be strong when I'm dealing with this issue of cancer. I'm going to be strong when I deal with this issue of this depression that's trying to jump on me. I'm going to be strong. I'm going to do it because it's who I is. Look at your neighbor and say, who is you? Now, those of you who got the question, say, I'm thankful. I'm thankful. Y'all follow along with this. Don't be anxious about anything in the New International Version. But in every situation, by prayer. Now, listen, I'm going to qualify this so you understand this action that we're talking about. By prayer. The first part deals with the aspect of just what's going on with me. Don't worry about the aspect of where I'm going to get this job. But don't worry about it. Pray about it. Talk to God about what's going on with you. Let's keep it real. Yo, I know, God, you have done something about my care, my concern, my anxiety, my worry, but it keeps coming on me. So I want to talk to you about it so that you might strengthen my spirit. So when I'm walking around, I'm not walking around acting. I'm walking around fueled. Ooh, y'all not hearing what I'm saying. See, many of us, we go through these cycles of depression and we just stay right there empty. And God all the while has been saying, you've been worrying and you've been anxious and you've been all these things because you ain't been talking to me. You ain't been talking to me about your heart. You ain't been talking to me about what's been weighing you down. You've been complaining to me, but you haven't been talking to me. You've been telling me what I need to do. And how many of y'all know that don't work with God? My personal experience has been many times I've been telling God, you should have been doing this. You should have been doing that. You should have been doing that because you said you were God. And what God said is, I am God. I am God. And then he sat there and he proved it because nothing changed. So something had to change and he wasn't changing. Anybody ever experienced that? Or is just me? God, I need you to do this. And he didn't do anything. Do you know why he didn't do anything? Because while I was struggling with the circumstance and the situation, he was trying to get me to see who I was. You're acting out of your identity. You're bitter and you're upset and you're supposed to be thankful. God, I'm waiting for God. If you hook me up, then I'll have something to be thankful about. So you're a chameleon and I'm a chameleon, that when situations, circumstances happen, then I can be. But then when other situations and circumstances happen, then I am that other thing. Y'all not following me, but you've been living this way. Okay, that was the hit right there. Yeah. We're going to have fun in church today. Y'all going to learn today. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 4, in the New International Version says this: for everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. Now, in the context of this scripture, it speaks about the aspect of individuals rejecting certain food types. And the whole point of it is, you know what? We go through a lot of different things in our lives. And it's easy for us to fall into the trap of when it gets hard, because at times it gets hard. Do I got anybody in here? I got any witnesses in. There are times in life where things get hard. They just get so challenging that it's overwhelming. It's too much. Anybody ever said that? Lord Jesus, is too much. It's too much. What God is saying to us, but check it out. Can you find the things in this that you're in that I've done? Can you find anything that looks like me in this situation? Can you identify that it was me, even though she was supposed to leave you, that she stayed with you? Can you find that when you didn't have the money, that there were people that came your way? And even though you were being prideful and you were saying, well, I'm waiting on God, I was bringing you people, and eventually you had to receive them. Can you find that it was me? Can you find it? Can you find something to be thankful about? And what God is trying to get us to see is that your actions of thankfulness is an identity. It is an identity. This is who you are. In everything that happens, I'm not necessarily happy about the circumstance, but I know that I'm not going to stay here. I'm not going to stay here. I'm not going to stay here. I know God is good. And if he is good, this is not a good situation, but I'm going to be thankful here until he brings me out. And everything that I am while I'm here is going to help me to get to where it is that I'm supposed to be. That was a hit right there, bro. Trying to help you. I'm trying to help y'all. Because we're coming into that season and the enemy he's getting busy. He's getting busy. Right now he's getting busy. Right now he's getting busy. Right now he's beginning to mess. Right now he's beginning to meddle. Right now he's beginning to show his butt. Right now he's starting it. He's starting it. He's starting it right now. But what I want to do is I want to get ahead of the program with you. I want to get ahead of the program with you for us to begin to position ourselves as God has positioned us. Shout. 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 Shout right now. Shout. If you know that you've been seeing something, right now, position yourself. I don't want you. Now, I don't want you to play with this. I don't want you to play with it. I don't want you to get all, because we know that for some of us in our culture, we tend to do this in this atmosphere. I'm not a shouter. But I do certain things that help me to see is God. And so what I'm saying to you is that, hey, you might not be a shouter. You might be a clapper. Whatever you need to do, position yourself. And be thankful. Position yourself and be that posture that you're taking, what you're declaring to the people that are around you who expect you to be sad and who expect you to be hurt and who expect you to be in that loser mindset. Position yourself. Position yourself. And don't move. Because the Lord has said, everything that you see, all of it, I created it. It's good. It's good. And in the midst of it looking not good, be thankful. Like, keep telling that to yourself. Keep telling that to your neighbor right now. Look at them and say, be thankful. Look at another person and say, be thankful. Come on, y'all. Talk to each other right now. Talk to each other right now. Jesus. Now, I want you to understand that the world and their expression of thankfulness, the residue, the things that people see, when we give thanks, we show gratitude and appreciation. So these are the elements of being thankful. It's gratitude. Amen. It is the makeup of being thankful. Gratitude and appreciation. In the world, we recognize that someone had a choice to do what they did. They didn't have to do it, but they did it anyway. We weren't entitled to the gift. They just decided to give us that gift. And so we show appreciation and appreciate and gratitude for what they had done. Saying thank you, it acknowledges our dependence on that relationship with that person. My God, listen to me. We're entering into this season, and the world is positioning people to want to give all of this stuff and give all of this stuff and give all of this stuff, from food to clothing to toys and all of that stuff, to be acknowledged for what you've done. But the spirit of thankfulness, the identity of thankfulness says, I'm doing this because I need you. Oh, y'all not hearing what I'm saying. I'm giving to you because I need you in my life. I appreciate you, and I'm glad that God has shown you to me. And I do what I do in this identity of thankfulness, not because I'm trying to get a pat on the back from you, but because I love you and I need you. Amen. The world speaks about this aspect of gratitude and appreciation and acknowledgement of the relationship with the person who is given. Not only the giver recognizing, but the receiver recognizing that this person loves me and I respect them. I respect them. I see that they don't have to do what they've done for me, but they did. How can I not respect someone like that, that extends that kind of grace and love to me? The word also says that if we don't thank, and if we are receiving gifts from people, what we're saying to that person, listen to me, y'all. If we receive a gift, something that we didn't earn, and we receive it without that spirit of thankfulness, what we're saying to that person is, what you've given me is meaningless. I'll take it. I'll use it. But when I don't express to you gratitude and appreciation, what I'm saying to you is, it don't mean nothing to me. Now I want y'all to transcend now. Because God created you in your identity to be thankful. And how many times have we found ourselves coming into the house of God and having to be coaxed to praise Him? How many times have we come into the house of God and we've carried the weight of the world on our shoulders, and God has extended Himself to say, you know what? Let that stuff go. I love you, and I've given you the gift of life. God, I don't want to be here. Oh, okay, well, you went from that place to church, so you're not there anymore. I got you safely from there to my house, and you still complaining. You said, God, I don't want to be in that anymore, and so you came to church, and you're still acting like you're there. You got to see what it is that I'm doing with you, and I'm trying to get you to identify with who you really are. Be thankful. And when you come in, and when I come in, and I'm carrying the weight, and I'm saying, God, do something about this. And God has said, but I've already extended you the grace of safety, and extended you the grace of a full stomach, or maybe not a full stomach, or whatever. I've extended you life. And you come in here and you're upset with your woman. You're upset with that man. And you want to kill these kids. God is saying, whoa, pump your brakes for a moment. It ain't about them. It's about me and you right now. And when you and I, we come in and we're acting this way, what we're saying to God in the gift of life that He's given us, we're saying, God, is meaningless to us. I don't want that gift. I mean, we got to be careful. We have to be careful because the enemy, that's exactly what he wants us to start to think. God is not God enough for you. What He has given you, what He's blessed you with, is not enough. What He has shown to you, although it's gotten you by, you need more, and He's not following through with what He's promised. And what God has declared to us is, first of all, I need you to do your part. What's my part, Lord? Would you be who I created you to be and stop trying to be all of these other things that don't identify with how I created you? Can you be what I designed you to be so that people will see that, in fact, there is a God who works in the midst of the hell that you are walking through, and that when you are thankful, that they see thankfulness, not just because you're saying, oh, God, thank you, but you're walking in the spirit of thankfulness. God, I recognize, and your gift means something to me. Am I talking to anybody in here, or is this not helping you right now? Because I know a lot of us, we're struggling right now. As I say this, there's this wind of something that's coming down. And you've already, because you've recognized, you've seen it before, you've already prepared yourself to a degree to be ready to be sad. You've already lined up how many days you're going to be coming to church. Now, I got to tell you, I got to say this to you. Why? Because the Lord knows where we are. He's followed, he's traced your steps. He's watched what you've done. None of that ordered by him, but he's watched the behavior. And today he's declaring to you, get back in line. You have been walking in sin and you have convinced yourself that it's not enough to maintain the life that you live. But the life that you live is one of survival and not one of flourishing in the midst of your drama. Do you know what flourishing means? I think that's like the first or second time I've ever used that word. But this aspect of flourishing is that in the midst of all that's going around, I'm creating space for myself. I'm making this territory a little bit wider. It's not enough for me. I need to have a little bit more to do what? To be thankful and to show people who I really am. I'm going to flourish in this drama right now and let this drama know that God is God because he's created me. And so I'm going to shout when I need to shout. Not because I'm trying to make noise, but I'm trying to make some room. Y'all not hearing what I'm saying, dude. I know because you're not moving right now. You know that when you deal with depression, it's like it's squeezing you. You know that when you're dealing with the areas of anguish, it's like it's closing in on you. And the Lord is saying, well, wait a minute. If you begin to be thankful, what you're doing is you're making some room for yourself. You're making some space for you. You're flourishing. You're spreading out a little bit more. You need a little more sunlight. Jesus, help us in this place today. Don't play with this, y'all, today. The world wants you to wait till you get stuff and then shout. The Lord says, be the shout, and then the stuff comes. But, be the shout, and the stuff that you didn't even know was coming will come. Be the shout, and the stuff that you didn't even ask for will come. Oh man, this must be a different church. God, help us today. They that wait upon the Lord. And what we have taken that to mean is that I'm waiting on God to bring forth that thing that I've been praying for. But that word waiting means, it's translating that as I serve God with who I am, then he will renew me. Then he will strengthen me. As I do what it is that he created me to do in my design, then he will begin to show me and strengthen me and build me up and flourish me and cause me to be able to make the room necessary for me to make it happen, baby. Selah. Because right now, right in this very moment, some of y'all thinking about this. And you're thinking, should I? Should I shout? Should I praise? Can I be thankful? Wait a minute. So it's not about the things that I have that I'm being thankful about. I'm being thankful because it's my identity. And in that identity, this is the behavior of thankfulness. I pray. I pray. I recognize that no matter what the situation, God is in the midst of it. He created it, and he wants me to be in the midst of this until he brings me out. And wait a minute. And know that he is the Lord, that he is God, and that we are not in this by ourselves, and we are not of ourselves. In other words, even if I created this situation as bad, I'm not in it now by myself. He's with me. In fact, he's allowed me to mess up so that I can make up. Man, that was good. He declares that I'm his people. And the last time I checked, even if for people who don't go to church and may not even know Jesus as Lord, they know that God is a big God. Y'all know that God is a big God, right? Y'all know that God is not, he ain't scared of nothing. He's not moved by nothing. In fact, if he needs to change something, all he needs to do is say something. All he needs to do is say something. If God is so big that if he whispers a word, things just change. Everything in your life is saying, no, 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 you won't make it. No, you're not going to be better. No, you're not going to get well. No, and all you, God, for you, all he needs to do is say yes. And watch this. Scripture declares to us, everything in him is yes, and everything in him is amen. And so he's already declared, even before you were saying no and he was saying no, he had already declared yes for my son, yes for my daughter, yes for you. Don't play with this, because his yes answer is in him. What is it? What does that mean, Pastor? That means it's a relationship. Yeah. Last time you were in a relationship, I was in a relationship, I'm in a relationship, in covenant relationship with my wife. That means that there's some give and some take. There is some give and some take. What does that mean with God? God wants me to give my life and take his. Wait a minute, we just talked about who God is. God is great. There's nothing that can stop God. God only needs to do is declare a word. And he says, what I want you to do is exchange your life for mine. Think about this for a minute, y'all. Y'all not see it. We people in the world know how big God is. And God says, for the one who will receive me, what I want because of this relationship, I want an exchange. Give me your life with your pain and your depression and your worry and your drama and your headache, all of it. Give it all to me. Give me your life. And in exchange for your life, you get. How can you not be thankful when God says, now when the situation says no, I'm asking you, act like me. Oh my God. I don't want you to be you. I want you to be me. I want you to represent who I am in that situation. I'm God and I'm everywhere, but I made a decision that there are going to be a lot of little ones like me all over the place doing what I do in those situations, saying what I would say in those situations, walking like I would walk in those situations, and showing the kingdom of God in those situations. Well, how do I do that, Lord? Be thankful for the exchange. Start there. Can you start there? See, what happens is, let's keep it real. We ain't been exchanging. Let's be honest. We've not been exchanging our life for God's life and what he's provided for. We haven't been exchanging it because we've been comfortable, sad, and upset. We've been good with not being thankful. We've been good. We've been happy being unhappy. We've enjoyed people giving us handouts and joining us in pity parties, and we call it prayer. I'm saying we're going to have to keep it real, because listen to me. The enemy is intensifying his move against God's people. He knows that you are his people. He knows that you are the sheep of his pasture. And he knows that if you get a glimpse of that exchange, your life for his, there will be nothing that he can do to stop you. But you're going to have to exchange. You're going to have to trade out. So I'm going to give you 3 points and we're going to land. Be quiet. First point, God has a plan for you. Wants you to be thankful, wants you to walk in that identity, wants you to find yourself in that exchange. So when the depression comes, it's not yours. God has taken it. He's taken it. We've talked about this. He's taken it. He's bought it. He is in possession of it by right of commerce. Did y'all catch that? He paid for sin with his life. And in exchange for that payment taken from you and I to him, he gave us then his life, his walk, which was a sinless life and a sinless walk, which basically means that he did not miss the mark when it came to God's instruction. That's the exchange. So your job and my job is to make sure that we are not sinning, missing the mark when it comes to God's instruction as it pertains to how I conduct my life in this circumstance. How should I be conducting myself? What should I be saying? How should, what is my expression? What am I to be in identity while I'm walking in this? And God wants to start us off with, be thankful. Be thankful. Be thankful. Wait a minute, not yet. Be in your identity thankful because of the exchange that has transpired. You don't have to do anything that doesn't look like God. And there is not a power in hell that can make you do anything that doesn't look like God. Right here, right now, as a child of God, and even one who's been created in his image and his likeness, and if you've not accepted Jesus Christ, you yourself have been walking in this grace because he's trying to get you out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his pure and dear light, his son. He's trying to get you there, and he's trying to get you to see anything and everything else that happens after that. You don't have to. Pastor, I want to get my life right. I want to get my life right. Okay, get your life right. Well, I have these situations. I have these circumstances. God knows that. He saw you go into it. Actually, he followed you in. And if you're honest, you probably heard him ask you while you were going in, where are you going? What are you doing? What are you doing? You heard him say it. You know, you in your heart, you were like, oh man, I shouldn't be doing this, but I gotta make it happen because I don't have anything. And you heard God's voice. You didn't recognize it as his voice, but you heard God's voice say, you don't have to do that. Maybe he spoke it through your mama. Maybe you don't have to do that. You don't have to act that way. You don't have to treat her that way. You don't have to drink that. You don't have to smoke that. He went right with you. Speaking to you, declaring to you, your design is not for that. You acting out. Even when people see you in church, oh, I'm blessed. You don't have to lie. You don't have to lie because you're not being blessed. You're just telling them that because you want them to see you smiling, but the residue is not real. Y'all got to understand, it's all about residue for us. It's all about what we leave in our wake. It's all about our legacy. It's what happens when people leave you, what they say about you. Not what they say in front of you. Oh, I know you go to church. You love the Lord. Then when you walk away, and I saw you cursing. It's about the residue. Where am I going with this? God has a plan for you. God has a plan for you. Jeremiah 29:11. Could y'all bring that up, please? Y'all have heard this before, but you have to understand it. With what God has arranged for you and I, first the exchange, and now this plan that he has for us. Could y'all quickly bring that up? For I know. I know. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to. We're the thankful people in the house. Wait a minute. Let's be reasonable about this. God is all powerful. He created us. We didn't create ourselves. He's declared that we are his people. He has exchanged this life of misery and hurt and pain for his life. That means his dominion, his rule, and his ability to change any situation and circumstance just by his word. He's given us that ability. And then he's also declaring, and I got a plan for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. So if you're walking in the midst of a situation that seems harmful, God is saying, it ain't gonna harm you though. It ain't gonna hurt you. Yeah, they've said terrible things about you, but it ain't gonna hurt you. Yeah, they've declared over your life some terrible things that cut you to your core, but I've already dealt with your flesh, so it don't even matter no more. So everything that transpires in your life, you have to understand, I'm in control of it. I planned it. I laid it out. And what I need you to do is recognize that it's to give you hope in the future. It's to establish you in your relationship with me. Y'all have to understand, and I have to understand, that this hope that he speaks of is understanding that God is not going to leave me hanging. So what do I do with that? Be thankful. God, no matter what happens in this situation, I'm going to be thankful. Because you have a plan. And you're God. So listen, keep it real, y'all. If it's God and he's declared it, it has to work. Why? Because he's God. Listen, if you believe in a God that is sometimes he does stuff, sometimes he doesn't, stop worshiping that God. Y'all not hearing what I'm saying? Y'all, many of us sit in church and, yeah, I believe in God, but you won't, ooh, Jesus, help me. Because my flesh, I was going to say something. I got rid of it. That's when you're supposed to be playing right then and there. Help me through. Yes. Thank you. Okay, stop. We have sat in church with things that we needed to get right. God has been speaking to us. And we've been waiting because we've been trying to get our money right. Or we've been waiting because it's just not convenient for maybe the other person. We have been doing a lot of actions that say to God, your gift is meaningless to me. And I want to say to those of you who've been, you know, and what happens right now is that you're going to make a decision. Either you're going to come back here and you're going to hear that God has more for you, or you're going to leave upset because you think that I'm just attacking you. But the reality of it is that God sees something coming down the line that he wants you to avoid and not have to deal with. Do due diligence now to repent from the things that said to God, God, your gift, your exchange, your plan is meaningless to me. And say, God, forgive me. You are God. And everything that you say and declare about my life is true. How do I know this? Psalm 100 said, his truth endures. That's what he said. I didn't say that. So God's plan for us, his plan for you, he's got a plan. His plan is perfect. Here's point two. This is a real quick point. And get this in your spirit. Just could y'all just for a moment, just set your pads down. I know y'all are taking great notes. Just set your stuff down just for a moment. I want you to just stretch your hands towards heaven. Let's everybody just do this in unison together. Just keep it real for a moment. God's plan is perfect for me. Would you say that? God's plan is perfect for me. And my plan is not. So right now, in Jesus' name, I release my plans to you, God. Amen. We have a plan of how to avoid the pain and the hurt. We have plans for how to deal with them church folk. For so many years, they've been hurting us and they've been disrespecting us. So I got a plan now to how to deal with it and be balanced. And so I can enjoy God and not have to deal with them. And God says, get that up to me. I want you all in. I don't want parts of you. I don't want bits of you. I want all of you because I gave you all of me. Everything that is me and all that I am, I have exchanged. I've given you all of me in exchange for all of you. So whatever plan that you had, stop it. It's not going to work. Whatever plan or thought that you had to keep your heart shielded and protected, stop it. It's not going to work. Why, Pastor? Why are you saying that? Because God being God and the plan that he has for you, it entails you having victory and having breakthrough in that area of pain and hurt that you've been dealing with. And he's going to continue to have you walk around that mountain of despair until you claim victory through Jesus Christ. If you don't, it don't matter where you go, you're going to go right back around that same mountain. You can change churches and you're trying to avoid people. Well, if they don't know me here, then they can't hurt me. Then somebody's going to come to get to know you wherever you go. And when they get to know you, they're going to do something to hurt you. And it's going to remind you. And then you're going to leave that place and you're going to be at the house. I'm not even going to church anymore. And then you're going to watch TV because you know you need to get the word. And that person on TV is going to say something that's going to hurt you. So then you got to get rid of your flat screen and give it to your pastor. And you're going to sit there. And so you can't run from your victory. You can't run from your breakthrough. God says, you're going to have to live my life. Y'all didn't catch that. God says, you're not going to do your plan. You're going to do my plan. And as you're walking through stuff, I don't want to see you. I want to see me in you, through you. I want you to be about your Father's business like I was about my Father's business. I want you to be able to walk in total freedom and breakthrough in every situation and every circle. You look, when you read the text in regards to Jesus's life, Jesus's life was not perfect. One, Jesus, his parents, they had questions about him. Jesus, his brothers and sisters treated him like common. Jesus, even for the people that were supposed to be his boys, one of his boys was a little shady. Jesus, with the people that knew who he studied with and studied under, they hated him every time they saw him, to the point of trying to stone him every chance they could get. Jesus walked on water to get away from people sometimes, only to find on the other side more people. And Jesus thought you so much more than he, greater things that you would do. Watch this. Jesus was just here for 33 years. Y'all didn't catch that. He was just here 33 years. Some of us have been here a little bit longer. And what have we accomplished, him in us? Greater things, he said. Greater things, he said. And it all starts with understanding and identifying, first and foremost, all that he has done for me. I am to be thankful. And as I walk in that spirit of thankfulness and that identity of thankfulness, recognizing God's plan is perfect. My plan is not. Each time I'm confronted with a situation, circumstances that will allow me to be me, I can't be me. I got to be him. I got to be him in me. And the whole purpose of me going to church and studying and sitting and going to meetings and all of this is so that I can get equipped. I need the Lord. I need more of the Lord. You know, when people hear that, it's all religious. But the reality of it is I got to learn how to be him and stop learning to be me. I've got to put me aside. Scripture, Paul said, you know, daily I die to this flesh. I've got to learn to put those feelings, emotions, all that stuff aside, give it to the Lord as he instructs. But then I have to learn how to be thankful in the midst of what's going on, because I know I'm not staying here. Will I struggle? Yeah, I'll struggle. Will there be challenges? Yeah, there's going to be challenges. But God, when those things come, all he's doing is saying, don't run from your breakthrough. Don't run from your victory. Don't be afraid of what you think will happen, because you don't know the plans that I have for you. It's not there to harm you. It's there for you to prosper, so that you would have hope and a future, which means that there basically is more to come. Amen. Last point. God's plan is perfect. Our plan is not. Finally, God has the final word. God has the final word. When we look at this word thankful in the Hebrew, it translates, I'm not going to say the word, y'all can look it up later on, but what it means in its translation is a design. Thankfulness, according to God and how he translates it in the original language, means there's a design. There is a divisiveness. There is a intuitiveness. There is a positioning. there is this thought of a scheme. This is weird. For you and I being thankful, the gesture in the Hebrew means arms outstretched. Give it all up. Give it up. Give it up. God, I surrender. I surrender. But God says that also with that, though, when you are in that position of surrender and identity, there's a plan that then forms. There's a plot that I have. There's a scheme. And so, in other words, I'm setting up something when you are thankful. I'm making something happen. There's something behind the scenes. This God, I surrender. And when we do it, then God is he's saying, okay, now you don't see this happening, but it's about to happen. Keep being thankful. Keep being thankful. I'm working it out. I'm bringing it around. You don't see it, but it's happening. Oh, man, why'd you stop? Now we got to start all over again. That's okay, because you're going to get this victory. You don't understand. That's how God's mindset is for us. He's like, I will not see you fail. I will not see you fall. I will not see you defeated. You don't, as my child with my plan, you don't have a choice to fail. I don't preach to myself. You don't have a choice. You don't have a choice. What? Y'all want to join me now? You don't have a choice. It is not an option for you to fail when it comes to this life, because the life that you're living is not your life. It's God's life in you. And in God, there is no substance for failure. There is nothing in God's makeup, in God's DNA. There's nothing in God that says failure, quit, give up. Listen, this is how good he is. And I'm landing. Here I'm coming. There's nothing in God's makeup that says this is impossible. Enemy thought that when man gave up his position of dominion, and he understood God works by covenant. God says something and it's so. So when God said that if you eat of this fruit, that day you will surely die, the enemy thought, well, since God said that he would surely die, there ain't gonna be no coming back from death. So when man ate of the fruit, the devil was like, it's over for you guys. It's done. But what he missed was this. Let us make man in our image and in our likeness. Then he said, and let him have dominion. See, what happened was, when we sin, the aspect of the act of thankfulness got cut off with sin and death. But God said something. Let us make man in our image and in our likeness. They have no choice but to be like us. What are we going to do about it? What you going to do about it? What you going to do? Then Satan was like, what you going to do about it, God? What you going to do? What you going to do? They sinned, and you said that when they did, they would die. You said that. And they sinned, so now they're dead. There's nothing you can do. And God said, which you don't understand. Well, wait. This is... Listen, man. I'm listening. I created them in my image and in my likeness. But Mr. Devil, what you don't understand is I can also make myself in their image. I made them like me. There don't seem to be any reason why I then can't come in and be like them. And I'm going to come in like them, but I'm not going to be born like them. I'm going to father myself, but I'm going to come in the flesh. And so just like I did to them, I'm going to do to myself. And I got a plan. See, because it's going to take one of them to have to pay the price for one of them. But I created them like me. So I'm going to show them how to be me like them. Oh. And I'm going to walk around looking like them, being me. Oh, this is good stuff, man. And if you knew what I was going to do, you would have killed me a long time ago, devil. But you didn't know that me being me like them, I'm sinless. Because everything that I'm doing, it's on target with what my Father wills for me. Looking like them. Showing them how it can be done when the Spirit is in them. So you upset and you mad, Mr. Devil, and you thought because I look like them that you could kill me like them. But they were created in the image and likeness of God. And I came in their image and in their likeness, but with one exception. I did not have that sin nature in me. I got a plan. You didn't know about it. I'm going to, as one of them, pay the cost for sin. And I can do that because I'm one of them. I carry their image and their likeness. I just don't carry their nature. I carry the nature that they were supposed to carry. So when you killed me, Mr. Devil, you had a brief bruising of my flesh. But because the nature that I carried was not their nature or your nature, I'm God. And now I'm going to fulfill the other side of what I declared about them. Let us make man in their image and their likeness and let them have dominion. How can they have dominion? Because they are walking with me. I walked with my Father. I did what my Father told me to do. I got killed and I was judged wrongly. I had no sin. So the penalty that I paid for sin, it had to be transferred to somebody because I couldn't take it. My nature was God's nature, and there is no sin in God. But I paid a price for something that I didn't own, but somebody else owned it. They did. So now what I'm going to do, since I'm God, is I'm going to take what I paid for and I'm going to redeem back. See, they couldn't do it because their nature wouldn't allow them. But because I was God in the flesh, I'm going to buy back all of that sin. Because all it took was a death to pay for sin. I paid for sin, but it wasn't my sin. So now that it's paid for, they have now the right to become sons of God. Who in this place cannot be thankful about what God did for you and for me? How can we just sit there and act like somehow we did something when God, he had a plan from the very beginning, a perfect plan, even through our mess ups. Jesus, the biggest mess up. If God can deal with the biggest mess up in human history, what do you think he can do about your mess ups? If he can gain victory over the ultimate cutoff point, what is your issue and what is my issue that God can't do something about that? Be thankful. Be thankful. Would you stand to your feet? I'm done. My God. I'm sorry. I thought y'all would be shouting a little bit more than you were, but I'm coming to the realization that was a lot. That was some good. Not because of me, but just because I'm a man. This is just a whole new turn of the prism of God having a plan for us. From the very beginning, he knew that we were going to mess up. Don't ask me why, but he knew that Adam was going to mess up. But when God speaks a thing, it's got to be. So you're created in my image and my likeness. You can't change. I can't let you go like that. I can't let you go in the condition that you're in. I can't let you go with that addiction. I can't let you go continuing to be hurt. I can't let you go being deceived about who you are. I can't let you go. I can't let you go that way. I can't let you go that way. I can't let you go like that. That's not who you are. I didn't devise and scheme and plan and plot your life for you to be stuck. I won't allow it. Not only do I love you too much, I know the plans that I have for you. And it don't look like what you're living like right now. I get it. But if you would accept the exchange that has happened, and with a grateful heart, say, God, I'm thankful. Because I know what I did. I know what I've been dealing with. And I felt that it was so impossible. But God, you showed me, man, for us as a planet, it was an impossible situation. And you managed it well. What is this situation that I'm dealing with that God can't do something about? He saved the whole planet in one afternoon. You saying, my God, all over the building.
For more information on the teaching ministry of Pastor Rich Martin and Life Community Church, please call us at 817-468-9215 or visit us on the web at www.mylifemycommunity.org. For more information on the teaching ministry of Pastor Rich Martin and Life Community